This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نقطة من لساني افقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing?
الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. Very good. Nice to see you all. It is good to resume this the studies of the Quran. I hope that you all had a nice break when it came to Eid, and just the summer, I hope, has been nice. Anything interesting that someone has done in the summer? Abdurrahman, you were doing something.
Camp, maybe? Yeah,
you were at camp. That's very good. What else?
Yeah, we also got a new trampoline.
You got a new what?
8-foot one. We got a 14-foot trampoline.
A trampoline, mashallah. Cool, mashallah. Well, now you can jump high.
Yep.
Anybody else? What have you been doing in the summer that's interesting? Somebody you'd like to share? Anybody?
I've been making my own game.
You've been making what, sorry?
I've been making my own game on programming.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
It's a 2D dungeon crawler, and I've been using Java.
Wow. Using Java, eh? How old are you?
I am 16.
Oh, you're 16. Nice, mashallah. Very cool. So you're a developer, huh?
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. Very cool. I used to write code in Java as well many years ago. Okay then. Now let's get started, inshallah. We are going to resume our study of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? And what we will do is I am going to show you where we are in our study of the Surah. Okay? And what we will do is kind of recap very quickly what is going on in this Surah. We were discussing some of the names of the Quran, okay? And you might remember these, right? Some of the names of the Quran that we discussed was firstly Al-Quran, okay? Al-Kitab, Al-Furqan, Al-Dhikr. And today I like to discuss one name of the Quran to start our discussion off with, which is Al-Hukm. Al-what? Al-Hukm. Okay.
Al-Hukm.
Very good. What does Al-Hukm mean? What does it mean? It means something that is
judgment, or like wise, wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay, so you have the word the root letters
Hakam
and
Hakim or something.
So we write them out as letters, right? The root letters are Ha, Kaf, and Meem. Okay? We get from this word, from these root letters, we get the word Hikmah. Yes? Hikmatun. What does Hikmah mean?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Very good. Hikmah means wisdom. All right. We also get the word Hukum.
I think it's judgment. Hukum.
Judgment.
Excellent. Like Hukum in like the court.
Very good. Hakim is like the ruler, yes?
What's like Yawm al-Hukum, the day of judgment?
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Yawm al-Qiyamah, right?
Oh, okay.
But Hukum here is the thing that is interesting about it is that Shumaila is saying I'm learning back flips and front flips. Well done. Sorry, I didn't see your comment. The thing that's interesting is the word in Arabic is saying that if you are someone who is judging, if you are like a ruler, a judge, someone who is important, okay, that means that you must have wisdom, right? If you're a fool, and you're judging between people, and you're an authority, people are going to be destroyed. correct? You agree with that?
Yes.
Right? And if you're just wise, like you say nice things, but you have no power, right? Is your wisdom, does it mean anything?
No.
No, right? It's just nice words. So hukm is both things together, wisdom and judgment. And that's what Allah calls the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ حُكْمًا عَرَبِيًّا. This is a book that has wisdom, but also it is the one that lays out for us how we're supposed to live our lives, right? It is like the judge in our worldly lives right now, right? Like if we have to resolve a dispute, we look at what the Quran says. And the Quran will inform us how to find a resolution. So judgment and wisdom, both of them together, that is what Allah calls the Quran, Hukman Arabiya. That's a beautiful name. And that's something that we have to understand about the Quran as we're studying it. It's not just something that is some nice statements and, you know, beautiful sounding things. No, it is full of wisdom and it needs to be implemented.
It's Arabic wisdom, right?
Yes, sorry?
Arabic wisdom.
Yes, Arabic wisdom. Hukman Arabiya. That's how the Quran, Allah says in the, about the Quran. ذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ حُكْمًا عَرَبِيًّا. Okay, very good. So that was the first segment that we do, which is like the names of the Quran. And this is one of the many ones. Now, you would, again, I'd like to ask you, why are there so many names of the Quran? What's the point of this? Anybody remember that?
I think they all mean something.
They all mean something? Very good. What else could it be? Like, why have so many names for something? I mean, I have one name. You have probably one name too. But why is the Quran being described with so many multiple names? Any ideas, people?
Because it has more than one.
Because it has more than one what, sorry, Yusuf?
One purpose.
It has more than one purpose. Very good. It has multiple purposes. Excellent. I like that. You know, and the purposes, you know, that is the thing that... they're highlighted by the names. I like that. Well done, Yusuf. Any other thoughts? Why have multiple names for the Quran? What's the wisdom in that? Someone want to type something or you want to say something, please, by all means, do so. So we have, it has multiple purposes. What else would be there? Abdurrahman.
I'm still thinking of something.
You're still thinking of something, okay. Maybe how about...
Maybe if we just that means something.
Ah, right. So, see, the Quran has so many aspects. It's not fair to describe it in just one way. It's actually unfair. It's got so many layers to it. If you just said... one of those layers is what the Quran is, you're not being fair to the purpose of the Quran. You're not being fair to the Quran. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses all these multiple names to explain to us how deep this book really is. Okay, so that's very good. Jazakumullahu khairan. All right, let's also look at the values the Quran teaches us. Right? Like I said, this is it's meant to tell us something. It wants us to become better people. So here are the values that we had seen so far. Humility, the value of humility. You have to have humbleness, not to think too highly of yourself, to be humble and understand that you don't know everything. This is a mistake that a person would make, thinking that they are at a point where they know everything. Whereas in reality, you know almost nothing. Me and you and everybody else. Because there's so much to know. This is the quality of a good believer. Having humility. The opposite of that is arrogance. Arrogance. Being boastful. Being proud. Not proud as in like I'm proud of my, you know, like family or my religion. But proud as in like I'm proud of who I am and I'm better than somebody else. Like I am better than this person. That idea, you know, and that is what shaitan, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the shaitan, Iblis, in the story of Adam, That was the downfall of Iblis, that he was arrogant. He thought he was better than Adam. And the success of Adam alayhi salam, despite the fact that he made the mistakes that he made, or made the mistake, excuse me, that he made, was that he had humility. He had humility. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he made the mistake of eating from the tree, right? What is it that they said? فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Immediately he received words of prayer. Immediately he had this humility to say, you know what, I was wrong. Oh Allah, I made a mistake. You know, that wasn't right of me. Immediately he recognized that. And immediately he made amends. And this is, you know, a very key part of a good believer. Having humility, knowing that sometimes you have to swallow a bitter pill, right? You have to eat some humble pie. But that is part of what makes a good person, that they can recognize that they have made mistakes. And recognizing that is a good thing. That's what makes a good person. Not recognizing it and saying, oh, you know what? I wasn't wrong in the first place. And I am right. And this person, who is he to tell me? That's the attitude that Iblis had. Okay. Also determined. We learned that a beautiful value that the Quran wants us to be is we have to be determined. Let's put humility opposite of arrogance. Huh? And then think of Adam versus Iblis. Yeah? Think of that example there. Okay? Opposite of procrastination. Think of Bani Israel. Bani Israel and the cow. Huh? The surah is named after... it's called what? The surah is called what?
The cow. Al-Baqarah.
Al-Baqarah, which means the what?
The cow.
The cow, yeah? Okay. So... the story of Al-Baqarah, right? The name of the surah has a really important part. It plays a really important part in like understanding, you know, it plays a part in telling us what is in like what's one of the main lessons of the surah. You know, and Surah Baqarah is such a big surah, has so many huge lessons. Yes, but of all the things that could be the surah could be named after, it's named after Al-Baqarah, because it is referencing this story that when Moses said to his people, God commands you to sacrifice a cow, a heifer is a cow. Yeah, very nice. So that story was showing the procrastination of Bani Israel. When Allah says, oh, sacrifice a cow, they were like, well, are you kidding me? Musa says, of course not. A'udhu billah. Okay, they said, well, tell us, what is this, what kind of cow is it? Okay, Musa says, any cow that is not too old, not too young. Do quickly, don't delay this thing. Okay, they're like, well, what about the color? Okay, what about, I mean, color, age, so many things we don't really know. Please tell us exactly what type it's going to be. You see, they're kept procrastinating. This is a person who is not determined. So these are people who didn't want to do it. And the reality is they didn't want to do it. And that's why they kept putting it off. That's, you know, if a person is always procrastinating, right, you're not doing homework. You're not doing what it is that you have to do. Maybe your room is a mess. You haven't cleaned it in like weeks. And you keep putting it off. You keep putting it off. That probably means you don't actually want to do it. That's why you keep putting it off. And usually people say, well, oh, I don't have the time right now to do it. In reality, you can always make time. The real reason is you just don't want to do it. Maybe because it's too difficult. Maybe it's not important enough. Whatever the case is, you just don't want to do it. And that was when Bani Israel didn't want to do it. Did not... Opposite of so it is that's how they were. And of all the things that the surah the name of the surah would highlight, it highlights this part. Don't be like these people who didn't want to do what Allah told them to do. Kept delaying it until it became too difficult. فَذَبَحُوهَا They sacrificed it. They actually did it at the end. But though they would rather not have done it, that's the reality. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفَعَلُونَ And this is what Allah wants us not to be like. Now, this is not just a slight on like a ethnic a group of people of a certain ethnicity. The Quran is here to teach us lessons. Okay, and this is one of the lessons the Quran is teaching us. These are people who are living with one of the greatest prophets of all time. They're not just living like somewhere, you know, remotely or whatnot. They're living with Musa alayhi salam, who is the man who did miracle after miracles. Allah performed miracle after miracle on his hand. He is the one who freed them from generations of slavery, from humiliation, from massacre. He is the man who did this. Yet when he's with you, you don't even have like the determination to do what he is telling you as a prophet of Allah. That is a major thing, right? That is the lesson for us. It's not to point a finger at them and say, aha, that's not the thing. It is, in fact, to learn a lesson from their mistakes. That is what the Quran is trying to teach us. Be determined. You know, and the example there is the Bani Israel and the cow. Okay. Now, also another quality that the Quran wants us to be like, or wants us to espouse, is ihsan. Ihsan, yeah? Ihsan is translated as excellence. Okay? Very nice, Abdurrahman, right? It's to worship Allah. Translate that from Abdurrahman.
To worship Allah like you see Him, but if you don't see Him, He sees you.
Excellent. Ahsan. Well done. Now, Ihsan, tell me, what are the root letters of the word Ihsan? Can you tell me from the Arabic?
Ahsan.
Okay, the root letters are three, guys. So try it. What is it going to be? Of these letters, what is the three that you think is the root? Ha.
Ha, Seen, and
Noon. Ha, Seen, and Noon. Very good. Okay. So, Ha, Seen, and Noon. From that, you get a word that means, like the word is Husn. What does Husn mean? Husn means?
Excellence?
Husn actually means beauty. It means beautiful. For example, like the Prophet would make a dua, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. When he would put on clothes, this is a dua we're supposed to make. That, oh Allah, in fact, I'll display this dua for you. Dua for putting on clothes. Look at that. See? Look at that. First Google result. What does it say? That's not the one. New garment. Sorry. That's not the one either. Okay, hold on. Okay, so here's the dua. All right, something you like about your physical characteristics, okay? Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. Very beautiful dua. Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, just as you had perfected my creation, perfect my moral character. Okay, and look at this. Hassanta, made it beautiful. Oh Allah, just like how you made my appearance beautiful, make my character also beautiful. All right. So it comes from the word husn, which means to be beautiful. Excellence is doing something in a manner that is beautiful. That is what ihsan is. It is doing something in a way that is beautiful. And when we think of ihsan, we think of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Yep.
That's who we think of.
Like the best of the best.
The best of the best, right? In a beautiful man. Okay, and then we think of Ibrahim. That's actually the end of the juz, huh? That's at the end of this first juz when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says about Ibrahim alayhi salam that I will make you a leader of mankind. But before Allah says you'll be a leader of mankind, what did he do to earn this incredible honor? Well, what he did to earn this amazing honor was because he was tested by Allah. He was tested. And when he fulfilled the tests, that is when Allah said, "Inni ja'aluka lin-nasi imama." Okay? So sorry, what happened, Abdurrahman?
I thought it was Khalifa, not the other word.
So the word Khalifa was used for who? Abdurrahman is asking a good question. Who was it that Allah said, "I will make you a Khalifa"?
I think it was Muhammad.
Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, maybe. Let's see, somebody else might know.
Not sure.
Hint, he was the first human being.
Adam.
Adam Alayhi Salaam, very good, right? So Adam Alayhi Salaam was the one that Allah said, I'm going to, he's going to be a ambassador of Allah on earth. But Allah said about Ibrahim that he will be the Ja'iluka Linnasi Imama. You will be the leader of mankind. Huh? So that's a beautiful thing. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim that he is the one who is the example of excellence. And when we as Muslims practice Islam, we are trying to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And
but the Prophet followed the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
I'm sorry, what?
But the Prophet followed the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who you think of, like, he brought the sunnah of Ibrahim back to life.
Yeah.
That was who the Prophet ﷺ was. The sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the way of Ibrahim, he brought it back to life. Oh. And we are the ones who are following the Prophet's footsteps in fulfilling that vision, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the sunnah of Ibrahim, actually he says, he calls it millata Ibrahim. Millata Ibrahim. That is actually what he calls it. The religion of Abraham, the way of Abraham. So, religion of Abraham is the millah of Ibrahim. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this. Now, what's interesting is that is what excellence is. And we are supposed to be espousing that. Wallahu a'lam. Okay? Sorry, give me a sec. All right. Sorry about that. Now, this is the things that we studied. Let's go to the segment 3, which is the tafsir of Al-Baqarah. Okay. And we had looked at the main theme of Surah Baqarah is submission to Allah without compromise. This is like the thing. This is the main thing that Allah wants us to learn from Surah Al-Baqarah. This is something, you know, there's many things to be learned from Surah Al-Baqarah, but this is one of the main things. Okay? That it is submission to Allah without compromise, with excellence, wanting to do it, being determined, with humility, all those characteristics. Okay. Now, what we were looking at was, we had looked at the beginning of the surah where Allah spoke about Adam. We looked at, Bani Israel and their mistakes. We looked at Ibrahim alayhi salam. But then finally, Allah turns to us as believers, the responsibilities that we have as Muslims. Okay. What expectations does Allah have of us as Muslims? That is the next thing that is discussed. Okay, and that is, let's go to that ayah right here. The expectations that Allah has of us, He wants us to, our expectations are reasonable, right? The religion is not so hard that it's impossible to follow. Allah has made it reasonable to follow. Allah speaks about people who made mistakes, like Adam alayhi salam, who made a mistake. Bani Israel made many mistakes. And we're supposed to learn from their mistakes. Then He speaks about the one who's like, as perfect as humanly you can get, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we learn from their example, we're not expected to be like them, because that's a very difficult standard to meet. But we're expected to aspire to be like them. Okay, we're expected to learn from the mistakes of those before us and try to be like the ones who we love, like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay? And all the other prophets as well. This is what the middle ground means. We're expected to be, submitting to Allah without compromise, while, you know, mistakes will happen, and that's no problem. All right. Now, we spoke about we are told that we are the ones who are the recipients of the final revelation, the final prophet, the final qibla. Now, this is a big honor. This is not like a small thing. We're not just any other people. We're expected to be people who have a lot of, we're carriers of Allah's message in the world. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, carriers of His message. Yeah? So, what is His expectations of us? His expectation is that we are going to be patient when something bad happens. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Okay? When something bad happens, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We spoke about this before quite a bit, so I'm going to quickly just recap this, yeah? That when, tragedy afflicts us, calamity comes about, something bad happens, something disastrous happens, something that you didn't want to happen, something you can't control, that is when true guidance, a person who really understands what it means to believe in Allah and practice that faith, what their reaction is, that they don't say something that's inappropriate. They don't say something irrational. They don't say something emotional. They say something that puts them in a state of calmness. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. They express patience in actions and in word. Okay? And then, you see what Allah says about them is that these are the people who, it is they who are on the right path. You know, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. If you want to know if you're on the right path or not, this is how you tell if you're on the right path. If something bad happens, are you able to be patient? Are you able to take this as part of Allah's plan? Are you able to understand that life is good and bad, and Allah is testing us with both good and bad? Our life is a test when Allah gives us good. It's a test to see, are we going to be grateful? Will we forget about the blessings, or will we be thankful for the blessings? Our life is a test when Allah puts us in a tough spot. It is a test to see, can you trust Allah's plan? Will you be patient enough to know that Allah has a larger plan for you? Will you be patient enough to recognize that this bad, as bad as it seems right now, may have a positive outcome for you down in the future. Do you know how a person becomes stronger? If you're trying to get stronger, you're working out, how do you become stronger and bigger? How do you do that? How do you become stronger and bigger?
Working out. By eating.
Well, eating, working out. Well, so when you work out, what happens? If you're lifting weights,
your muscles swell.
Muscles swell. In fact, what happens is your muscles, they tear apart. Did you know that? The fibers in your muscles, they tear apart. And then they rejoin. And then when they rejoin, they're bigger. That is how growth happens. And one of the things that, you know, when someone is trying to get stronger and better, if you are always doing the same thing, if I take, you know, like a 10-pound dumbbell and I'm always just doing like bicep curls, even though bicep curls don't do anything, but if all I'm doing is 10-pound bicep curls, eventually my muscles will get used to it and nothing will happen. No muscle fibers will tear, no growth will happen. You know what I have to do then? I have to do something different. I have to do like a different style of activity. The point of the example is this. Growth physically happens with pain. You have to put your muscles in pain. You literally have to tear them apart and then they grow bigger. That is the only way to grow physically. Hmm? This is our biology. This is not like some theory. This is how we are as human beings. If that's the case for our growth physically, what do you think about our growth as our as people, as a person? Like your growth as a not just spiritually, but as also your personality becoming better, acquiring more wisdom. Yeah, all of those things only happen through pain, just like physical growth only happens through pain. So when Allah says that we are going to test you, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we are going to test you with fear and hunger and loss of property, lives and crops, right? That pain is not meant to be a punishment. That pain...
it's to test you. So like in a bad Rasul, that's what Allah said.
Exactly.
So after every bad thing, after something disastrous, something good always happens.
After something bad, something good happens.
COVID-19.
But also keep in mind, the pain that Allah is, you know, putting us through, it's there to help us grow. Just like the physical pain helps you grow physically, this kind of experiences helps you grow as a person. Develop character, develop, you know, wisdom, grow spiritually. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who endure with fortitude. This is very, very critical. Okay, so we have to understand this. Allah tells us good and bad is part of Allah's plan. If bad things happen, don't just give up hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is not like you don't think that something bad happens, all of a sudden Allah has abandoned you, He doesn't care for you. Why is God like this? No, it's part of His plan. He gives you lots of good. We thank Him for that. He gives us tests, and we are patient, and we see those tests as a way to grow and become better and stronger. Okay.
Excuse me, sir. What exactly are we covering today?
We're covering the tafsir of Surah Baqarah. This is something we've been doing for a while now. So I'm just recapping.
Yeah, like what ayah?
The ayah number is 155. So this is the ayah number right here, huh? You see that?
No, from what to what?
Just watch, you'll see, okay? All right. Now, so that's one thing that we're expected to do. We're expected to reflect on the world around us. Ayah number 164. Reflection on the world around us. This is beautiful. This is something that we all should do. You should take the time to look at what is around you, okay? Not just like on your phone or a video, but actually the world. Go outdoors and look at the amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It says, look, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day, in the ships that sail in the ocean, bearing cargoes, beneficial to mankind. You see, this is the way all trade and commerce happens. Without this, no trade, no commerce, no luxuries in life. Everything goes out the window. It's literally all predicated on the ships that sail in the ocean. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us this buoyancy is a blessing of Allah. Buoyancy is what allows a ship to sail. In the water which God sends down from the sky and with which He revives the earth after it's dead, scattering over it all kinds of animals. This is the water cycle. The courses of the winds. This is the weather. And the clouds pressed into service between earth and the sky. This is our rain. Without rain, there is a drought. In drought, there is no food or water. There are indeed signs for people who use their reason. All of these things that are around us, starting from something as small as the rain, right? Observing rain, to something as big as observing the creation of the heavens and the earth, the study of the stars, the study of how life on earth began, the study of geology, everything. Indeed, there are signs for people who use their reasons. Faith is based on ayat inside the book. That is the Quran. It's also based on ayat outside the book. And that is the glorious creation of Allah. Reflection on what Allah has made. You look at that. You look at the stars. You look at the unbelievable amount of galaxies that almost you can't, not almost, you can't even count how many there are there. And the measure of how large the universe is, we still actually don't know how big it is. It humbles you to understand who, like what our place is in this world. And it should give us the majesty of understanding that the one who brought this all into existence is so powerful and so dominant. You go down to the molecular level, and that's like a universe in itself. That's like a universe of itself, what's happening at the molecular level. And all of these things, I mean, for a person to claim this incredible system with such intricacy, such complexity, arose as an accident, arose without cause, arose as a byproduct of just like a random incident, that's nonsense. You know, for a finite creation to be in place, the one who starts it has to be infinite by default. For a limited creation to exist, the eternal has to precede it to bring it into existence. This is the first principles of logic. That is what we're supposed to do, reflect on the world around us. And when you reflect on the world around us, based on what is around us, it gives us more strength in our faith. This is very beautiful. We're supposed to enjoy the good things in life. This is, you know, not everything good is haram. This is something that some people think so. Eat the wholesome things of which we have provided for you. And the good that we enjoy, we should give thanks to Allah for. Haram is a little. Halal is a lot. Enjoy the halal. But when you enjoy the halal, be thankful. That is the way that is what our religion teaches us. Enjoy the good things in life, but at the end of your enjoyment, be thankful to Allah for providing you with that good stuff. Okay. The Quran speak the next things that the things that we are taught about is the ayah of virtue. We spoke about that last time quite a bit, so I'm just gonna just recap this idea. Ayatul bir, or the ayah of virtue. What is it? What is it that's virtuous? Brother Amir is saying online that he ends by mentioning those who believe, who reflect, mashallah, and these characteristics are the characteristics that embed in our nature to be successful. Very good, Ahsan. Well, good point, Brother Amir. The virtue, what does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to be a, an exemplary person? This ayah explains. Virtue is not just turning east or west. Islam is not just a bunch of rituals. Okay, I had a friend who was a convert from, I think, Buddhism. And I asked him once, I was like, what you guys do as Buddhists? He's like, oh, we had like, okay, you know, put your feet here. And, you know, touch this table before you do this. And just a bunch of like steps of what life was. That's all their religion was. And I was thinking, for many of us, that's all Islam is as well. You know, don't put your feet towards the Kaaba. You know, don't do this. Eat this kind of chicken. Don't eat that kind of chicken. That's not all that Islam is about. That's not what all virtue is. It's not just turning your face towards the east or the west. It's not just rituals. It's not just, okay, five things to do in life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, good. Now again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not just that. The rituals are there, of course. But there is a reason, a much bigger reason for those rituals. A much more all-encompassing, a much more all-encompassing understanding that the rituals tie back into, okay? That is our iman, believing in God the last day. Believing in Allah is, looking at the universe and recognizing that this is a product of an ultimate, eternal, independent creator. It is not anything else. It's logically impossible for it to be anything else. But that God himself, how do we find out about that God? That God is someone who is in the unseen. We found out about him through his revelations, the revelations that he sent over time, books and prophets, not just Islam. The Prophet was not the first of the prophets. He was the last of the prophets. Okay? All revelation before, Allah sends it. And we find out about his will through these this revelation. All leading up to the last day, the day of accountability. That is the mindset that, you know, that's the mindset of people of virtue. Right? See, everything is leading up to the day of judgment. It's expressed by being able to give away the thing that you love the most, your wealth, the thing that's dearest to you, the ability to give that to someone else who needs it. That shows you understand life is more than just me feeling good about myself and me enjoying myself. If a person can do that, you see, that is virtue, to be able to give something you love and enjoy to someone who needs it more than you. Because you understand now that is a, you know, the bigger purpose of life is to please Allah by helping those around us. And it's not just to please myself and feel good about myself. No, that's not what it is. Huh? And then it is to, as you can see, to relatives, to orphans, to the very poor. Relatives are first on the list because we have to take care of our family. You see? Orphans, the poor. Travelers are the ones who back in the day would get stranded in the middle of nowhere and would have money at home but no money at the time that they're there. So helping those people who need temporarily or permanently. Set slaves free. Islam was the first religion that made the concept of setting a slave free. Okay? Because it's a good thing to do. There's no financial benefit. It's purely a virtuous act. It's purely making someone's life better. This is the first religion that preached this in the history of religions. Okay? What's interesting is this is a very, very selfless act, a very difficult thing to do. It's like buying a house and then giving the house away for free for someone to live in. That's what setting a slave free, that's the cost of it. You see? But that is virtue because you're now basically giving somebody a new lease on life. Attending prayers and paying the alms, zakat, spirituality and helping others. Keeping your word. You know, your word is your bond. You should, when you say something, it should mean something, right? It shouldn't just say whatever just to get out of a tight situation. If you give your word, you keep your word. Being patient in hard times, in times of distress, that is true iman. That is what Islam means. That's the kind of person Allah wants us to be. People of virtue. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Such are the people who are God-fearing. Okay? Allah speaks about fasting. What is expected of us, right? Again, we're talking about what is expected of us as people who are the carriers of the Prophet ﷺ, his legacy, the inheritors of the way of Abraham. What is expected of us? To fast spiritually. This is a spiritual enlightenment for us. You know, fasting is something, it frees you. Believe it or not, it frees you from the shackles of, just material consumption. That's what it's supposed to teach us. That you don't depend on these things. You can depend, like you can do this, break away from even the most basic necessities of life for a few hours to show yourself that you can change. To show yourself that you're ultimate source of nourishment and trust is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what fasting is supposed to be. And it's not a new thing. Allah prescribed it to all prophets before. All prophets before were prescribed this fasting. The difference, of course, is people who passed before us, the prophets who lived before us, their message was for the people of their time, for the communities, the ethnicities that they were sent to. The message of the Prophet is for all of humanity. This is the key difference, okay? And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references right here. You see, he says this, that all people surrender yourselves totally to God. ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Surely he is your sworn enemy. Okay, this idea, the Prophet has brought this message to us for all of humanity. Okay, that is what's different about the Prophet compared to the rest of the other prophets. The other prophets preach fasting, they preached virtue, they preached prayer, but their job was to preach it to a specific group of people. When the Prophet is doing it, he is the last of these prophets. He is doing it for all of humanity. And the job of the Prophet now falls to the rest of us. It falls to the rest of us. We have to first live these values, be people of virtue, and then share these virtues with the people. That this is the final religion. This is the final Prophet. This is the final Qibla. And we are going to be the ones who share it with the people all around us. What does Allah expect of us? He speaks about something, a little bit of a history here. It says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Mankind was once a single community. I.e., they were all worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we believe. That humanity all started on tawheed, on worshipping Allah alone. But then people developed differences. Okay? Anybody here know what anthropology is? Anybody heard of what anthropology is?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Anybody I
know I didn't. Anthropology? Okay, anthropology is a subject that studies how civilizations lived, how civilizations basically came about. It's not an exact science. A lot of it is theories and a lot of it is it's hypotheses, right? Like it's a claim, and it's the evidence isn't like scientific evidence, for example. Okay, the evidence is anecdotal evidence and whatnot. Okay, so anthropology, the main theory of anthropology is humans were all sorts of humans were naked. They were cavemen, ancient civilizations, well done, Saeed. They were cavemen. They would worship different gods, multiple gods. And then, over the course of history, you have these pockets of people where they would preach worshiping one god alone. Okay, that's what the theory of that's the prevailing theory in anthropology. And again, I'm summarizing and being very generic here. Whereas what we know from the Quran is in fact the opposite. Adam alayhi salam was the first human being, and he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And all of his progeny, his kids, grandkids, were one in their worship of Allah. Okay. But then they develop differences.
His other son, I forgot his name. The guy who killed his other son, the brother that killed the other brother.
I know. The Habil and Qabil, right? There was one who killed the other, but that's what the ayah is referencing. The people develop differences, right? So then Allah sent prophets as bearers of good news and warning, i.e. to resolve their difference, bearers of good news that, okay, let's do this and Allah has a reward for you, incentive and warning. If you don't do it, Allah has a punishment. Okay, that idea, that's what the Prophet's job was. And to strengthen and support the claims of the Prophet, Allah sent with them the book containing the truth. Here is an authoritative piece of evidence, okay, so that people may judge between their disputes. But then what happened is this. This is the unfortunate reality. It was only those to whom the scripture was given who disagreed about it after clear science had come to them because of rivalry between them. The sad thing is the people, the ones who learned the scripture from the prophets, the ones who were supposed to do the job of the prophets, ended up fighting themselves, ended up being the ones who caused disagreement, who caused disunity and division. They became the reason for disunity. Whereas Allah has sent the revelation so that the disunity would be resolved. This is unfortunately the reality. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping it real here. He sent the prophets and the messengers and revelation with a purpose. The people failed the purpose. The people who are supposed to uphold that purpose, they failed it. But despite people's failures, God by His will guided the believers to the truth about which others had disputed. Despite the failures of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still enables those looking for the truth to find the truth, to be better, because He guides whom He wants to the straight path. You see that? This is a very, very important concept. You look around the world and you say, oh, there's so many problems. How come there's so many problems? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer to that is two parts. Part number one, this life is supposed to be a test of people. People who were given a responsibility and people who, like an individual responsibility and a community responsibility. Those who failed on an individual level, they will be held accountable by Allah on an individual level. Those who failed on a community level, they will be held to even more scrutiny. But the world, the way it works, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere in the way, like He does not stop an individual or a group of individuals, supernaturally. He allows it to play out a natural course of actions, because that's the reality of the world. It is meant to be a place where good and evil clash, a place where there's a struggle between two parties. That is how the world is. That is the reality of it. But despite all of the struggles, despite all of the ups and downs, this is the thing. Allah, by His will, guides the believers to the truth. Undisputable. Always there. Because He guides who He wants to a straight path. This is critical. When you look around the world and you see chaos, but you also see order within that chaos. You also see people who Allah has chosen. Among all of the ups and downs, all the bad things that's happening, there's good by the permission of God. And this is the reality of life. And this is what Allah says. Do you think that you will enter paradise, ayah number 214, without having suffered like those who have passed before you? This is how paradise is earned. And this is something we want to understand. That, paradise is attained by going through the difficulties of life. By number 214. Okay, it is something that happens. It happened to the prophets before, and believers with the prophets. It is something that's a reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, be ready for it. When you see it, don't say, why is it happening? Don't say that. Try, on the other hand, to say, how can I get through this on a personal level? How can I help my community get through it on a communal level? What can I do to make it better? Because Allah, inna nasrallahi qareeb, surely the help of God is near. Okay, with that, inshallah, we'll end. Inshallah, next week, we will conclude, inshallah, Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? Because we did a large recap of what we had done. We had a long break of what had happened. But the surah really now is talking about what is Allah's expectations of us. And there's a few more things that we'll add to this list. And then we'll conclude Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah ta'ala, next week. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, for coming out. I really appreciate it. I'll see you all next week. Same time, same place. Inshallah. Okay? Take care. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.